Rita and Robin Gokhale. Rita has had a successful surgery yesterday and she's recovering. So let's bow in prayer for her. Our Father, we thank you so much that we can come as a church and rally around one of our members who is going through a time of need. We want to ask that you would sustain them by your grace and in accordance with their understanding of your word and who you are, the great and lofty one, creator of the ends of the earth. But in Christ you are Father and you care very dearly each one of us. And may Rita know the everlasting arms bearing her up in this time of recuperation from surgery that was quite serious. We want to pray that you would work healing in her body, that she might recover well and soon. We also want to pray for our brother Robin, that he might be sustained too by your grace, and give him strength, Lord, to be a support to his wife. And bless them as they miss this Good Friday service, and be with Anu too, Lord, who is with this couple. And may they have a great time as they read your word and pray together. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all for this special Good Friday service this morning, and let's prepare our heart and our mind as we worship our God. Visham, as we
the scripture says, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. Lord, we just come before you this morning and recognize that even as this world, rather the major part of this world, mourns your coming and your death, Lord, in this we rejoice that you have made a plan to send your son, a plan for your son to die, and a plan for redemption for each one of our lives. Lord, we need that salvation. We need your death on the cross, which not just bore all the physical pain and all that went with it, but Lord, you bore our sin, which we in our own strength were not able to carry, and we in our own strength were not able to bring about forgiveness. So Lord, we come to you this morning recognizing that Good Friday and Easter were a central part of your whole scheme and plan for this world. Lord, even though you had to send your son and put him on that cross, Lord, you did all that for us because you loved us with an eternal, everlasting love. And Lord, we just want to thank you once again that we can be in a relationship with you, a relationship which will never end and which will continue beyond the boundaries of this world into your kingdom. Lord, we just pray that this time would be a time of refocusing on what you did 2,000 years ago for us and just recognizing that you did all that for each one of us who is gathered here in this room and for the ones who have gathered all over this world in your name. So Lord, we just commit this time into your mighty hands once again. We ask this in your most precious and worthy name.
Amen. The worship service order is in your hands and we will be following that. I want to request all those whose names are on that sheet to come without being called up. And then when you read read into the mic so that you can be heard and the congregation can follow in your own Bibles the reading of God's word done by various ones in our congregation. We're going to be starting with this wonderful spiritual. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You remain seated, and the women will sing the main lines, and the men will come in with "Sometimes it causes me to tremble." In the last verse, we all join in for the full verse. And just so that we know how we are singing it, the first verse will be sung only by those up front, and you listen and come in with the second verse, the ladies with Amanda and the men with Aaron.
Chapter 53, verses 1 to 6. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 to 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him.
Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him.
Isaiah 53:7-12. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors.
As we look at this passage, we have a record of prophetic utterances by Isaiah hundreds of years before it happened. How Jesus would die, where he would be buried. But the key thoughts here are that we have all gone astray, and our sin was carried by Jesus on the cross, and through his death we are justified. And this was by the plan and will of God. Stand with me as we sing number 189. 189. Calvary covers it all.
Calvary covers
21 to 25. That's 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls.
I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
When you were reviled, you did not revile. You took it quietly. And you did it all for us. Because you were the one who planned it all. That was your purpose, to suffer. Not for your own sake, but for us. And we thank you that we were able to understand your appeal and be reconciled to you. And Father, we pray that you might help us to bear this message to those in our own midst who still postpone being reconciled to you, to our family members, and to all those around us with whom we mingle day after day, that they might be reconciled to God. May this be our burden. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 5. and 14 to 16. That's Matthew 26, 1 to 5 and 14 to 16. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest, named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus.
I'm reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 20 to 25. Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 to 25. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself."
Stand with me and open your hymn books to 512, My Savior's Love. And meditate on the words we just heard from Matthew chapter 26, how Jesus knew that he was going to be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. He knew he was going to be killed. He allowed Judas to make his plan. And he made it so clear even at the Last Supper. And Judas even asks Jesus, "Is it I?" One of the 12 delivered Jesus to be crucified.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How wonderful, how wonderful is God's greatest love for me.
Just the women now. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Just the ladies again.
In the age of me,
women.
How marvelous, how wonderful, my God shall ever be.
That's the men.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Everybody, sing it out.
Jesus died of his own will. He planned it from before the foundation of the world for a sinner like you and me.
I am reading from Matthew 26 verses 26 to 56. Matthew 26 verses 26 to 56. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go out there and pray." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came up to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with him, that with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately, Judas went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place. For all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way? At that time, Jesus to the crowds, Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill scriptures of the prophets. Then all disciples left him and fled.
The next song is in our song sheets, In Step. But as you turn to that, I want you to look at some of the text that Aaron just read to us in this passage in Matthew chapter 26, from verse 26 to 56. I wonder, as you think of the different events recorded in this passage, you wonder, can I ever be like Judas? I don't think anyone can be like Judas, because that's a done deal. He handed over Jesus to be crucified. And that's in the historical past. And if you're saved, you can never ultimately betray Jesus. But certainly we can be like Peter, can't we? And aren't we so often like Peter? If you look at verse 35, he makes a very strong commitment. I'm willing to die. I mean, forget about anybody else. I'm so committed. I'm willing to die for you. We haven't yet read the record of his denial of Jesus. But look what happens. He was pretty strong. He took off his sword and he cut the ear of one of the people he thought was his enemy. But the end of that passage which Aaron read, verse 56, all the disciples ran away. Every one of them, including Peter. And we can fault cowards, but it is scary to stand for Jesus when opposition comes. It is scary. And how many times, even when it was not as scary as this, have we run away from standing for Jesus? In what may have been difficult times for us. But do you notice how Jesus is absolutely committed to dying? And the glory of the cross is that he came so willingly to die. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the struggle is really with the Holy One tasting and taking on our sin. Can you for a moment imagine the Holy One touching sin? And you think of all your sin. And you think of all the holiness of Jesus. And on the cross, He paid for it. Let's sing the glory of the cross.
What wisdom wants to devise the plan where all our sin and pride was placed upon the perfect man to suffer, bled, and die. The wisdom of the sovereign God, whose greatness will be shown when those who crucify His Son rejoice around your throne. Thank you.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 48. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 48. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
I'm reading from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
After the singing of the next song, there will be time for you to pray out in your own words. So feel free where you are to pray out loud enough for all to say Amen. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love for me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. that bound thee to the tree. Nay, was thine everlasting love, thy love for me. My secret sins can all forgiven be. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to till I own the conqueror and Lord and sovereign crown. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to Holy One to bear away my sin. Just lead out in prayer where you are.
Understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my
I'm reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 23. Then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate. And when they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, it is as you say. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. But they kept on insisting, saying, He stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee, even as far as this place. When Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there, accusing him vehemently. And Herod with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another at that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion, and behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. Nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us, and behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. Now he was obliged to release to them at the feast one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, Away with this man and release for us Barabbas. He was one who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection made in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept on calling out, saying, Crucify, crucify him. And he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt demanding death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. But they were insistent, with loud voices, asking that he be crucified. And their voices began to prevail.
Isn't that amazing? They're shouting and screaming, Crucify him, crucify him. And the governor of the land, he says, and you can count how many times in this passage. Take time to count how many times. He says, He's innocent. He's not guilty. The king, Herod, finds no fault in him. And yet, the governor is willing to say, I will release him after punishing him. Why punish him if he's innocent? So he was already compromised, but as the pressure mounted on him, Pilate let him be crucified. If he was innocent, then why was he crucified? The only answer is because he planned it, so that you and I can be forgiven and have eternal life. We're going to have a special number. I saw one hanging on a tree.
Luke chapter 23 verses from 47 to 56. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock, where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment.
Another amazing, amazing event happened. A hardened Roman officer, the centurion, he saw the way Jesus died, and he comes to faith in Christ. And we can expect him to be in heaven. He was amazed. The centurion, certainly this man was innocent. In another gospel it says, certainly this is the Son of God. This is God. Only God become man can die like this. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and look at the first part of verse 9. You might miss this. As you read about Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, a rich man, and compare it with what Isaiah had prophesied about 700 years ago in Isaiah 53 verse 9. With the rich, he was in his death. Aren't you amazed that even that detail was planned by God? It's all by design, not by accident. God planned the salvation plan so carefully. But turn back to Luke chapter 23 and see what it says about Joseph of Arimathea. In verse 50, it says he was a good and righteous man. In that whole crowd of wicked, scheming, conniving men of the Sanhedrin, there was one good and righteous man. He had a friend who was also a good and righteous man. He had come to Jesus by night, Nicodemus. Elsewhere it tells us Nicodemus was also involved in getting the body of Jesus for burial. You know, Jesus didn't have to do anything but come die for us. And it was so well planned. And these men, they had the body taken down, and in verse 53 of Luke chapter 23 it says they took it down and wrapped the body in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb where no one had ever been laid. I was reading verse 56. And I thought about this, how we face such events as death and suffering. But these Jewish women of Galilee, they had followed and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. That's verse 55. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And the whole passage ends very quietly. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. They had just faced the most traumatic event of their life. And in accordance with their scriptures that told them to rest, they went and they rested. Follow God, obey His commandments. In the middle of all that traumatizes you. And I just think, they rested. They didn't sit up all night anxiously waiting for the next day. They rested. How could they rest? Only with the knowledge that what else could they have done? And there was a clear command, right? There was a clear command. They had instruction in their Bibles and they did what they should do. They rested. And I guess in resting in obedience to the Word of God, they left everything in the hands of God. Small point, maybe not a major point when we think of the death of Christ, but they rested according to the commandment. I want to be like that. But I also want to be like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Don't you? We're going to stand and sing number 197. And I'm going to ask Santosh Aaron to take the offering. These gifts we have given to the Lord.
Let us pray. Father God Almighty, we just want to say thank you to you, O Lord, for the greatest gift that you showered upon us today, O Lord, as we remember our Lord's death, O Lord. Father, thank you for that love that surpasses all understanding. Thank you that we, who were enemies, now have a privilege to call you Abba because of the death on the cross, because of the great gift that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we bring forth this offering into your mighty hands, Father, we pray that you would accept this, O Lord. Thank you for the privilege that you give us, O Lord. Thank you for helping us to be part of this worship in terms of our giving as well, O Lord. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless DCC and help its leadership to use your counsel for the building of your church out here in Pune. In Jesus' most precious an unchanging name we pray.
Amen. Before Lalit comes to read, I hope you've enjoyed worshiping this Good Friday. Is there any of these songs you want to sing again? Which one? I stand amazed. Let's stand and be amazed as we sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Number 512. Rise with me. Let's worship the Lord and allow ourselves to be amazed, moved with amazement.
The presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how
Thank you.
we continue singing this song, if you look at the text, it was authored by a famous poet and writer in English literature, William Cowper. And he was a believer who struggled till death with his assurance. He was not quite able to understand for sure whether the blood of Jesus could really completely cleanse him and wash him clean. And yet he wrote these words of great assurance, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Please don't be like the writer of this hymn and keep doubting whether Christ's death on the cross was sufficient, complete, adequate, and enough for all your sins. Let's sing verse 2 onwards.
Bibles to John 19 verses 31 to 42. John 19 verses 31 to 42. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Thank you.
We sing our closing hymn, The Power of the Cross. The words are in his death. Stand with me as we sing.
Of the darkest day, Christ comes.
There was darkness. The graves were open. The rains fell. The curtain was torn. The people were amazed. And yet Pilate and Herod and the chief priests and the mockers, they kept mocking. But Jesus, your son, allowed himself to die. And with the women, we stand watching. With a historical backward glance, and we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did this all for us. What a love, what a cost. We love you, Lord, and we want to not just get moved when we think of these things and when we sing such amazing words, but we want to live day by day victorious over not just sin, but even suffering, pain, sickness, surgeries, disease. Come what may, day by day, Lord, help us to so live that we stand not just in the shadow of the cross, but in the life beyond the cross, the empty tomb, the open grave that's empty, to knowing that you are risen and at the right hand of Father God, praying for us, standing as our advocate. And so we want to not just stand amazed, we want to live so that others will be amazed at how we live. Because Jesus lives for us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. And all God's people said, Amen. There's lunch after the service. There's an Easter service. And please stay on and enjoy the meal. Let's pray for the food and then have